Welcome to One Poem Only. I'm Maggie Devers. On Sundays, we do things a little differently. Instead of just one poem, today I'll read all the poems from the past week. A quiet recap, a second listen, or maybe a first chance to catch what you missed. And at the end, I'll share one new poem to carry us into the week ahead. So settle in, and let's revisit this week in verse. And then, something fresh to close. Naked, by Danielle Martin. Naked in the truth that she is alone, she hugs herself tightly and succeeds in creating the illusion of wellness. Damp eyes close as jaded lips conjure up wide smiles. Damn. Her mind begins to do its own thing again. Briefly, she forgets, as she floats on a magic carpet of memories, smiling. As death did not steal everything after all. Basking in apparent nothingness, she waits. No one knows her thoughts, but her silence is better left a mystery, and she knows only too well every beginning has an end. Poetry Reading by Maggie Devers. After Chelsea Diane. This is a remembering where we come together and read our truth. We have been doing this forever. They have tried to stop us, burnt us alive, tied rocks to our ankles, and threw us in the river. Locked us in cages. So many cages. But we didn't stop. We can never stop. We are right where we are. Her Absence, by Katrina Kay. I do not regret the days I spent loving you in her absence. I do not regret your tempered touches as you searched for her skin under my scales, or the way your eyes reflected her sharp chin and freckled chest when they fell on my frame. I do not regret the fleeting space we created, mourning gestures in the folds of sheet and flesh, tending your wounds with tongue and time. You found solace with your elbows on my table, your dirty feet in my bed, but she was ever present upon the waves of your thoughts, your ears keen for her voice, but I heard it first, soft as the buzz of bumblebees on the beach calling you home. I do not regret returning to a solitary balcony above the ocean's turning point, or slipping inside my bed still warm in your place. As you kiss my hands in gratitude of my hospitality, my kindness. Don't leave thinking I am emptied. I gave what I wanted. No more. No less. You Wrote Anyway, by Abhilasha Ghosh. July 25th, 2025. You were told writing was a man's terrain. Ink too heavy, thought too sharp for your soft hands. So you wrote anyway. You became George Eliot when Mary Ann wouldn't be taken seriously. They admired your mind but never called it yours. You were the Bronte sisters, singing as Currer, Ellis, and Acton Bell. Three pens dipped in restraint, writing women with thunder in their hearts. You were Ismet Chagatai, on trial for obscenity because you dared to speak of women as if we had bodies and stories and agency. You were Christine de Pizan, arguing with dead philosophers in the 1400s, building a city of women while the world tried to burn it down. You were Savitri Bai Phule, carrying chalk like a sword, spitting in the face of caste and patriarchy, with every lesson you taught a girl. You are Elizabeth Vigée Le Brun, painting and writing through revolutions, surviving exile with a brush and a spine. You are Madame de Staël, banished by Napoleon for being smarter than he could stand. You turned your exile into a library. You are Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz, writing plays and poems in a convent in Mexico, hiding brilliance in lace and Latin. You gave up writing. They said it was your choice. You and I both know it was surrender and silk. You were Marina Tetsvetaeva, writing poems that blistered like prophecy, while the Soviet air turned cold around your mouth. You are Anna Akhmatova, smuggling words through iron bars as your lovers and sons disappeared. You were Sylvia Plath, and they romanticized your death before they honored your craft. You left poems like razors on every bathroom tile. You were Virginia Woolf, handing every woman a room of her own, while your own mind became too loud to live inside. You were Octavia Butler, writing the future because the present refused to hold you. You were Nawal El Sadawi, telling the truth of women's bodies and being cast out for it. You were Toru Dutt, Begum Rakaya, Kamala Das, the subcontinent's burning pen passed down like a secret blessing. You were too brown, too bold, too bare, too brilliant, too loud, too angry, too strange, too sad, too female. They called you excessive, unladylike, difficult, political, emotional, hysterical. And still you wrote, in exile, in shame, in hunger, in prison, in the dark, in footnotes, in funeral clothes, in jail cells, in schoolhouses, in shame and in secret, on scraps, on borrowed typewriters, under threat, under pressure, under no illusions. And now, we write because you carved the path with your teeth. And now, we write in the space you tore open with your bare hands. We do not write to please them. We write because you did. We sign our names because you could not, and every sentence we shape rings with your echo, proof that survival, in ink, can be immortal. Nightmares Are Dreams Too, by Dimple Dinesh Lokande. In the midnight sky, as breeze passes by, in our sleep, we tend to fly to a place where dreams seem to lie. Dreams whisper on clouds in silver light. We see in shining armor a knight who wields his sword and provides justice to what's right. Dreams are a picture of the future, some blurred, some clear, where hearts feel safe and fears disappear. But deep beneath those dreamy skies lies a darker place where nightmares reside. They steal your breath, haunt your soul, a terror hidden, your body they control. A face unknown with a sudden fall. The night consumes you with shadows' creepy call. But nightmares, no matter how cold and severe, are born from dreams, the same sphere. Each night comes with stories brand new. This is your reminder that nightmares are dreams too. A poem inspired by Emily Dickinson. Dear Death, how can I stay when you, more than life, make me feel seen? They call you cruel, but I have seen the gentleness in your cruelty, the mercy in your ending, the way you unburden bones and hush the screaming thoughts no one else could hear. What if the ones who scream are not cruel, but trying to anchor me to a world they still believe can bloom? And I? Have I given everything a chance? Or have I fallen so in love with the idea of not hurting that I've forgotten what healing might feel like? Do not rush. But when you come home, come softly. Let me fall like a candle into darkness, like a secret finally heard. But even now, as I write your name with steady hands, something inside me trembles. What if I'm wrong? What if your silence is not peace, but absence? What if the ache I carry is not a curse, but a call, a sign that I was meant to stay, to fight, to feel just a little more? What if the ones who scream are not cruel, but trying to anchor me to a world they still believe can bloom? And I, have I given everything a chance? Or have I fallen so in love with the idea of not hurting that I've forgotten what healing might feel like? by Alexis M. Levine. The prompt was to write a 7-word poem about your mother. I wrote it in my dream and it evaporated when I woke up. But I did dream of my daughter as a newborn asleep on my chest. The smell at her crown was there, and her little chest rose the same, and I was a new mother again. I have carried the feeling all day, thinking how our children hold us close when their tiny hand grips our finger. I think of my mother and know for her, 7 words are not enough. By Maggie Devers. Thank you for listening, poetry lover. Come back tomorrow. The curtain rises again.